This is a workshop of missions. My name is Roy Robertson, and we are going to share how all of us can get more involved in the work of missionary activity. Some people ask about my missionary call. My missionary call was a telephone call. At the other end was Dawson Trotman, the head of the Navigators. He said, "Roy, this may surprise you, and again it may not, but leave everything and leave immediately and get out to China right away. Try to get to Shanghai. If you can't get to Shanghai, well, okay, get to Canton, call it Guangzhou now. If you can't get to Guangzhou, at least get to Hong Kong. But how long will it take you? Leave everything and get out right away." Something like 30,000 people have made decisions for Christ through the Youth for Christ program. Dr. Billy Graham was at the time, but the more prominent was David Morkin. He was the head of Youth for Christ in China. And Bob Pierce, who later founded World Vision. And these people preached and had about 30,000 decisions for Christ. But no one was assigned to do follow-up. And so they begged for someone to do follow-up. And so Dawson said, I'd lived with him for 2 years. I was in Texas, the first missionary station in mid-America. We had a station in West Coast, Los Angeles, East Coast, New York, and in between was Texas. So I was sent in 1947 and started a work in Texas, Navigator, the only work in the mid-continent area at the time. Is that going?
You're doing wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you kindly. All set? He gives me everything on, everything here.
Awesome.
You're here. Praise God. Thank you. San Mei Joju. Thank the Lord. All right. So, I said, nothing about finances, you know, God will provide. We talked about 5 or 10 minutes. So I was on my way to China to do follow-up to sort of like a pre-Billy Graham crusade on the evangelist for Bob Pierce, David Morkin, and do the work of follow-up. And my job assignment from Dawson Trotman, not very long, "Roy, you go to China and do what I taught you." Okay, so that was a job assignment. So my work was to go and to carry on the things of which were the heart core of the work of the Navigators. So as I got to Los Angeles, I went into the home of Dawson and Lila. Doss had 4 kids that were brilliant and 1 child, Chucky, that was born sort of mongoloid. And he's in diapers. He was in a crib, did not go beyond that. And Doss, in his talking and explaining to God, he says, "Chucky, has this invalid person has done more for my life. God sent him for a purpose." Sort of a sanctuary. And so with Chucky in the bedroom, and even staff, we didn't go in the bedroom with Chucky there very often, but a special time. There was Dawson. There was Lila. And so I went to the corner of a room, and Dawson began to pray for me. And he prayed from, 2 Kings 6:17, something like this. He said, "Lord, lay on the heart of this young man what's on your heart." I thought, well, what's on God's heart? And, of course, the answer came right away. The world. Lay on the heart of this young man a heart for the world. Open his eyes, his vision, that he can see. And then Doss later told me, "Roy, I'm not sending you to China. You're going to the world. You're going wherever you're sent." Because even then we thought China might be closed in a couple of years. The communists were knocking on the door, a matter of time before they take over. But you go. You go to China and do what I taught you. So, that was my assignment. The verse of scripture he gave me was Isaiah 40:43:19. "Behold, I will do a new thing, Now shall it spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You will go and produce a work and a work for God. We had a China church, was all right, and a lot of things going on, and a lot of good things, but we, like most churches, most of the Christians are not very productive. There are very few Christians that are real disciples, and my job was to teach the Chinese Christians, by the grace of God, first of all, how to memorize Scripture. And Dawson Trotman we had the topical memory system, 108 verses of Scripture, three sets of 36 each, and they'd been put into Chinese. And Daw said, God fought this thing because the first set burned up. The printing press burned up and all the materials. But, they got them together again, and they put them together, and they sent out these boxes and boxes, about 3,000 to 4,000 sets of Chinese memory materials. And my job was to, by the grace of God, get every Christian memorizing the Scripture. Now, the Chinese can memorize beautifully. In fact, the whole system among the Chinese, what they call Lan Song, Chong Pei, Chik Chik Chok Chok Chik Chok, you know, they'd quote 1,000 words in sequence. That's the old Confucius system. They'd memorize it, quote 1,000 words in sequence. And there's a young student, when I lived in Shanghai, right out the door, next door, he'd quote these verses early in the morning, you know. They could quote these verses, quote these words from Confucius, but they were not taught to quote the Bible. Hardly anybody could quote the Bible. So you learn the people to quote the Word of God in Chinese. And so this is what we tried to do. The second thing that they worshiped in church, they had prayer meeting in church, but like here, most Christians did not get up in the morning and have a quiet time, at least, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour quiet time. They were not taught to that. You teach them to get up in the morning. I was taught to get up in the morning because Navigator started, because Dawson Trotman got up at 5 o'clock for 40 days in a row and prayed that God would bless the Navigators and the Navigator movement. And we were taught to pray and to sleep in was considered a cardinal sin. Don't you dare be caught sleeping in if you live in Dawson Trotman's home. I lived in his home for 2 years. And so these Chinese, teach them to get up and pray. And third, teach them to share the gospel. Every Christian is born to reproduce. Every Christian ought to be able to share Jesus Christ. Teach them to multiply. Not just the pastor preaching, but every Christian reproducing. Because a day may come when the Bibles will be burned, when the churches will be closed, and when you cannot meet publicly anymore to meet together, and this did come. But by the grace of God, we got there just before the communists came in. We stayed there 2 years and laid foundations. And by the grace of God, with God's help, I believe things happened. We got 1,600 new believers who memorized at least the first 12 verses of Scripture. And then some of them memorized more. 108 verses. The first person to memorize all 108 verses was a grandmother, 69 years old, said, I want to learn these verses before I die. And she did. She got the first diploma. 108 verses she memorized and others. But we got them to memorize the Word of God. We got them to meet privately. We got them to share Jesus Christ with one another. And even though the communists came in 3 months after I got there, and eventually within 2 or 3 years, every single church was closed and the Bibles were burned, yet the Word went on. And yet they reproduced. And yet the Christians stood true. And yet the Word of God went on. We just had some part of it. The Chinese church was a great church, but we did have some part. And so if you can get individuals multiplying for Christ, there is no government in the world, Islam or communist or Hindu or whatever, that can stop the one-on-one Christian-to-Christian flow of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's what I was sent out to do. And by the grace of God, we did something to that degree. Well, where do missions begin? Most people say, well, oh, Matthew 28, Great Commission. Hey, you're a little slow, a little far behind. Let's go back a little more in the Scripture. Let's go at least to Genesis 12. Genesis 12 is the Great Commission of the Old Testament. And the same ingredients in the New Commission. If you have your sheet, it's introduction and the first sheet. And I'm on, where are we? Genesis 12, 1 to 2. The gospel promise to Abraham. And God said to Abraham, get thee out from your country, get you out from your kindred, get you out from your cottage. I put three C's, country, clan, and cottage. Go! Get out and go. Get away from your environment. By the work of God, I am sending you. You go out into the world, starting with the Jews, starting with this group of people, the Hebrew people, and you are to take the gospel to every nation. And all nations of the world will be blessed. And I will bless you. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. Today we have a war in Iraq. And these people before have fought against the Jewish people. And the cursing of God is upon those who try to destroy his nation and fight against his nation from Ishmael on out. It's a conflict to the end. It'll end with the great days. It'll end with a great tribulation. It'll end with Jesus Christ coming and wiping them out. So right now we're getting ready for it. But it's a just war. It's a spiritual war. Because they want to destroy Isaac and the seed and the seed of Christ. And all of Satan and all the forces of enemy have been tried to set up to destroy, but they will not destroy it. Of course, because this is God's son. This is a blessing. And through Abraham, the gospel did go out. Through Abraham, it had great success. If you will turn over to the next page, quickly, page 3, the Great Commission to all nations in all ages. Just some examples. Abraham, king of Sodom and the kings of the nations of the world. Joseph, one man, became the head in Egypt of Pharaoh. Moses, against the Egyptians. Hannah, a mother. Promise of God, and her son became the great prophet, and David, and so forth. God doesn't take a lot of people. Missions begins with one man. Missions begins with prayer. Missions begins with faith. It just takes one man to move a nation. One man to be a prophet. One man to bring the gospel and others fall along beside them. And so God looks and blesses those that go out and do this particular thing. So they're to go out and be a witness. All the Old Testament, the witness of Jesus Christ. You're the wise men. You know, the wise men and three wise men in Christmas story, I think they came from Babylon. Daniel was in Babylon. Daniel was astrologer and prophet and laid the sign and laid the scripture. And I think the remnants removed from there. And so they went seeking the king. The Jews were not seeking him. But from the east, from the ends of the world, there were nations that would go and seek an honor, beginning with Jesus Christ, who was born king, King of kings and Lord of lords. So, the Great Commission, Old Testament, Great Commission, New Testament, we'll get into it later. But the program of God is Jesus Christ will be exalted. Through him, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Now, how can we as a group, I want this to be generic, I want this to be helpful wherever you are. I've tried to not just tell you missionary stories. I love missionary stories. I'll tell some, but I hope I move all of you step by step by the grace of God to be more missionary minded. And missionary mindedness begins with prayer. Begins with prayer. Isaiah 54, 1-2 was the prayer of William Carey as he went into the scripture. And it said, more shall be the seed of the desolate than the seed of the married wife. Get thee out and go forth and enlarge the place of thy tent and stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Reach forth, spare not, strengthen the cords, lengthen the stage. Thou shalt inherit the seed of all nations, of desolate nations of the earth. And William Carey said, ah, that means we are to take the gospel to the heathen. We are to bless them. And so William Carey went out and did this. William Carey started as a shoemaker with a map. With a map of the world. So I'm saying the first practical step that I hope everyone will take is to take a look at the world, take a look at the map of the world, and begin to pray for the world. William Carey, back in 1791, did this, map of the world, shoemaker, made of leather, began to pray. What? God laid it on his heart. As you pray, God will lay it on your heart. And so William Carey prayed, and God laid it on his heart. And by faith, he went out and what we call started the modern missionary movement, 1792. He reached India. The British tried to throw him out, the East India Company, never mind. He went up to the inside, 7 years, no converts. 7 years, his wife went crazy. His son died. He came back, broke, desolate. Business failed. Never mind. On New Year's Eve, he sat in a group and there were four converts. And as his wife was screaming and delirium and his son was dying, they baptized the first four Hindu converts on the eve of the millennium. December 31st, 1799, they baptized four converts, the first fruits. In the next 3 years, there were 3,000 after the first. God began to multiply and to bring converts, and God brought the Hindus and the Christian nation to Christ. But it started with one man looking at the world, saying, God, you don't want them to be desolate. God, you want to witness and send me. The Navigator started through Dawson Trotman, through prayer. You're well acquainted with this. Jeremiah 33:3. Who wants to quote it? 33:3. Call.
And I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know.
Write that. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And so Dawson had a motorcycle, had a friend on the back of the motorcycle. And every, he went up to a little ravine in California, 5 o'clock every morning for 40 days in a row. He went up there. He prayed with a prayer partner called Walt. And so they prayed and they began to pray first for their family and their friends and their local church. And then they began to expand and they began to pray for Los Angeles. And I think the Youth for Christ movement, the Open Door Youth for Christ movement, Church of the Open Door, the thousands of people who came to Christ in those early days were product of the prayer. Dawson Trotman and 4 or 5 other Christians that joined with him prayed for the youth of Los Angeles. And God raised up a movement, 4,000 people in the Church of the Open Door and singing breaking forth. And Saturday night, instead of being a night for Satan, became a night for young people receiving Christ. And they began then. Then they prayed for every state. And later on, Doss and Lila, they kept a little diary. And he showed Lila every single state, all 48 states at that time, and also Hawaii. Every single state, someone had been in their home because they prayed, God, let my life touch every single person in America. This prayer, without leaving Los Angeles, this prayer from where he is, this prayer of faith, this prayer of laying hold on God for what would happen, and all kinds of things happen. But missions begins with prayer. Not a lot of people. Doss had five or six people. And they met every Tuesday up on next to Los Angeles was another building, the Willard Hotel, next to, the Biola Bible Institute at Los Angeles. They had a prayer group at 5 o'clock in the morning. It was a elevator, and they call it a power shaft. And so we called it the powerhouse because the electricity, the power of prayer, and the power of electricity. So the powerhouse. Now, I've written a book called The Powerhouse 5. And if you're interested, you can trace some of the stories. We have them back in the back. I'll show you later, or you'll see them, of how God used five men of God to turn Asia upside down for God. Five men, and men of faith, individuals of faith. God took their faith and went to place after place. And God is still doing it to the glory of God. Now, everything begins with prayer. Nehemiah, look at the walls of Jerusalem broken down. One man believing God. Well, you have to wait for a missionary movement. Missionary movements are fine. But everywhere that I see in Scripture, it's an individual. God said God can do more through one man who's fully yielded than 100 men who not all together their lives laid up for Christ. But prayer, real prayer, dedicated prayer, believing prayer is a history of missions. And everywhere they go. I could tell you other stories and all the haystack revival and where beginning of the Presbyterian movement and beginning of the CIM movement and beginning of almost every missionary movement that you can think of began because a small group of people were serious before God, began to pray. And as they pray, God sent them out to the ends of the earth. We have a handout. Maybe I won't take time to do it now. It'd be too disturbing. But I have a handout of, and they'll give it to you. Let's give it now. You take a look at it and see it and look at it and think about it and pray about it and write about it. This is a map of the world. I think there's 200 and what the number is. What's the number at the bottom? A 216 number of nations. You pray for them. And if you pray for one within two-thirds of a year, 200 days, you can pray for every nation in the world. Well, at least 5 minutes, huh? Is that asking too much? 10 minutes to pray for the world, to pray what's on the heart of God, to pray something. If you pray for seven countries a day in 1 month, you can cover every country of the world. But just praying for one at a time, you will cover it in two-thirds of a year, something like that. But pray. Pray that God will send forth laborers. The harvest is gigantic. The laborers are few. How do we get laborers? You know the answer. Matthew 9, 37, 38. Pray. 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 Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest. And so we began with prayer, and you can go ahead and do this to the necessity that we pray. I say, just takes one man or two or three people. You read a lot, let's get hundreds of people shine up, get 1,000 people praying. Well, okay. But I don't know much scripture on that. The only scripture I know, usually, God blesses those who believe. We don't have that many real believers. God blesses those who are serious. God blesses those who will call upon the Lord by faith and prove the promises of God, and God will do them. Well, Paul said, oh, pray for me that I might be bold and the gospel of Christ might be show forth with whom I am a prisoner before God. And yes, we're asked to pray for the missionaries and pray for Paul and pray for the apostles, but mainly pray for yourself. I mean, you pray. Your prayer will determine your basic heart for missions. Without prayer, not very much successful will be done. While they're passing out, I'll bring my personal illustration. 5 minutes away from Dawson Trotman's house, 509 was a place, was a hill. We'd walk up the hill, and there's a barbed wire fence. There were sheep on the side of the fence. And then from the hill, you could see all of Los Angeles and all of Pasadena from the top of the hill. And it was Dawson's prayer ground. And on every Tuesday night, if we were there, he'd take a bunch of guys here. Let's go up on the hill and pray. Boy, what a good time. So we'd hop in the car, we'd go up, go through the barbed wire fence, we'd get on the hill, Dawson would get a blanket and lay it out and talk to God. His way of praying was different than most people. He said, God, you know, he talked to God like God's a person. You know, now God, you know, Joseph here, and all that's a problem, and here's Pete, and like this, and this situation here, now Joe, you hear that? You know, he would pray. Double conversation. Pray to you, pray to God, pray to you, pray to God. It was just sort of a general conference addressed to God and all in the group. Then we'd pray and ask God and ask God together. Sort of unique way. And he had under a rock, he had his Bible hidden with a plastic over it and a hymn book because he loved to sing and sing hymns in the morning. And so I made a covenant with God because I found no one was meeting there in the morning. So I made a covenant with God that every morning at 6 o'clock would find me through the barbed wire fence on the hill praying for God. And so I made this deal and I took up five something like that. And very few times, I can't remember when I missed. Those days I was eager and more disciplined than now, thank God. And so day after day, climb up through the fence, up on the hill, I'd pray, look out over Los Angeles, pray, oh God, do something for God. I say, Lord, use me. What do you want me to do? Whatever. I prayed on the hill. I don't know whether Doss knew I prayed or not. I'm sure he did. But anyway, God sent me because I prayed. My wife, and she was on the staff, Phyllis, before became my wife. And so she prayed. Dawson came back and said, staff, don't pray for peanuts. Pray for continents. So Phyllis, before she became my wife, said, Lord, send me to overseas. I don't know whether they said Europe or not. Send me to Europe this year. In Jesus' name. She prayed. And so I was the first male missionary sent out. I went to China, and God sent her, the first female navigator missionary sent out. She went to Paris, France, and then to Germany to work among the servicemen. But answers to prayer. You get serious about praying, God will do something. God answers your prayer, and in answer to prayer, God will pray, and this is the foundation of everything else. Well, after you pray, you should give. So my outline, not very original, pray, give, go. It's about as blasé as you can get, but important. Pray, give, and go. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So begin to give to missions. Begin to give something. Make missions be a part of your involvement. Yeah, you can give to your church, you can give to the draperies, you can give the rugs, you can give for the vacuum cleaner, whatever, okay. But pray for missions and pray for people that are doing the work of evangelism and discipleship. 80, close to 90% of mission work does not involve personal evangelism and discipleship. Only about 10%, maybe 20. The rest, what Lauren Sani called secondary ministry. Yeah, yeah, okay, you can send out tapes, you can have tape recorders, you can do this, you can write, you can mail things, you can do things by remote control and all like that. But you're going to have a war, either Afghanistan or Iraq, you've got to send in troops to possess the land. You've got to go in, hand-to-hand combat, and witness. God, I want to lead a Chinese to Christ. I want to lead a Japanese to Christ. I want to follow up at all of these people. That we call a primary ministry, not in the system of missions. Isn't that good? We need the system. We need logistics. We need all kinds of things. But particularly, pray for the person who is doing preaching and teaching and the Word of God directly, person to person, and give some of that, but give some of your thinking strategically. Do you know of any individuals who are missionaries? Well, probably they need support. Again, groups and all like this are all right, but why don't you individualize it? And have you written them? If you write me, I'll write back. And most of the people write back. I don't get that many letters from people who are that concerned. And write. You can send a gift too if you want to, but write me and send a gift and I'll write you back, personal letter. And nearly any navigator I think will do that. At least I do it. And my friends do it. Have some personal contact. Get to know what's going on. Get to be intimately involved with some, hopefully some individual. So this is our, that are on the field. So your gifts will be more personal. You'll be involved. It will bless you and bless your life and bless the situation. So first we pray and then we give. If you turn over for a moment to your worksheet, hope I can butt in without too much. And we can also have questions. Lecture too much. But turn over to your progress worksheet. While we're still in the middle of the program, let's just turn to that and look at these questions, because we want it to be something that will help you where you are. And how is your prayer life concerning for missions and missionaries? We picked a figure. Do you pray 10 minutes a day? Oh, well, pick another figure. 8, 5, at least 5 for missions, for prayer. Do you pray? I'm just going to read it. I don't write quite yet because we get too involved back and forth, but I want to interplay with you. And then you ask me questions. We'll give you more time to write. Is your giving to missions at the proper commitment level? And what is going on now for missions? So we'll want you to write. What is your prayer life? You grade yourself. We're not going to look at these papers. 1 to 10. How's my prayer life for missions? I'll grade myself. Where should I be? 1 to 10 scale. Praying, giving, where I am. You know where you should move. And so the first two things are to pray and then give. At this point, have any questions? Any questions anywhere on basically maybe some of the material we've covered? Any questions? Any comments? Anybody? Yes.
Do you know who would know what navigators are in Thailand, if any?
What navigators are in China?
Or in Thailand.
You have the answer?
I do.
Okay.
Go to navigator.org, Okay, go to navigators.org.
And click on the USIMG tab.
And click on the USIMG tab.
Which is U.S. International Ministries Group.
That's U.S. International Ministries Group.
And there's information on all of the activities, overseas missions that the Navigators are engaged in.
And that'll give you the information on each country. Yeah.
Every country. The whole world?
Yes, sir. Well,
I mean the whole Navigator world? I mean the whole Navigator area. Thank you. Thank you for that wealth of information. Everybody get it, apply it, and find somebody, all the people that you're there, and latch on to someone and pray for him. Pray for him and get involved. Other questions? Somebody else? Yes.
Roy, you said when you went to go pray on the hill, you said something about you're praying for God to do something for God. Did you know you were praying specifically for like missions like other countries, or was it a process of like seeking God? What was that like, your intentions at the beginning of the process?
I prayed with Dawson Trotman on the hill Tuesday night. I prayed on the hill every morning, and I prayed for a lot of things that the Lord would answer, huh?
Was your prayer that Lord send me as a missionary, or what was the process that took you from?
I said, Lord, use me before the Lord wherever you want to send me, and it was more on that stage. I look over Los Angeles, Lord, use me, bless my ministry, Lord, sort of send me forth. I didn't put any specific country, but it was, Lord, help me to get out, because this is my two-year training period living in Dawson Trotman's home. And I knew I was going out after that.
Did you have international in mind?
I don't know. Yes, yes. Well, yes and no, somewhat. Who knows? I don't know. God knows. Yes.
And if God wants it to happen, he'll make it fall in place like he did for you, correct?
Pardon?
God wants an individual to go somewhere.
Right.
It'll all fall in place.
Right. It'll fall in place. It'll fall in place. Play. Not so much geographically to sin. God will settle that. But pray out. Go. Go. Had to go. I wasn't going to stay there. I knew that. I'm going to go. Well, Texas was a mission field at the time. But then pray for cross-cultural. So you pray, you give, and then third, you go. The third part. You begin with evangelism and discipleship where you are. Begin in your hometown, begin in your school, begin where you are. If you look up Luke 16, it says, he that is faithful in what is least is faithful in much. He that is faithful in physical things will be faithful in spiritual things. He that is faithful in another man's ministry, Luke 16:12, God eventually will give him his own ministry and his own converts. But we start out by being servants to other group and under another man. We're discipled by another person and being willing to do what he did. So you don't do your own thing. Be faithful where you are and wait for them or pray for them to send you forth to the next step. Dawson Trotman would, again, with John Crawford, you heard John Crawford this morning, and John Crawford taught me how to paint, as we did everybody else. I was in charge of one section, but certainly not in painting. And so I'd be on John Crawford's crew, and Glen Eyrie, early days, 54, 55, give me a paintbrush, taught to paint, clean it up, clean up your brushes, leave everything complete. Don't leave paint glow around like that. And he wouldn't allow sloppy work. He wouldn't allow unfinished work. He wouldn't allow things that are done. So when you lead a soul to Christ, don't leave him there. Clean it up, get it, do follow-up, give him scripture memory, do Bible study, do this, do this. And if you can't clean out your paintbrushes, you're not going to do the work of follow-up and the spiritual work with things follow. People have habits, and they follow the habits that we had. And so we learn to do physical and spiritual, small things into big things. And never mind my testimony of that. I don't have time for that. We'll move into other things. But be faithful where you are, and God will send you. God will send you cross-cultural. God will send you to another place. Dawson Trotman was on about 7 mission boards while he was also president of the Navigators and all like that. He believed in other works. We network it. Narrow. Navs are too narrow. We don't send you out to be a navigator. We send you out to serve. We send you out to bless the church. You're going to serve under another person. Everybody I train, I teach them. Now, there's a difference between man-to-man training and spiritual accountability and departmentalized or organizational position. There's a difference. So he'll be my spiritual leader no matter what happens. But he'll probably be changed to another organization. And if he's not faithful in that organization and put in practice the things I taught him, we've failed. We've not succeeded. We've not done what we have. If we cannot apply what we're doing to the next context, to the next place, to the local church, to the mission field, to the group where you're sent, to whatever fellowship you're in, then it is not working through right. And so these are the spiritual principles, and God will extend if you're faithful. Talk one, God, why don't you use these kind of people? He said, God, and nobody else. So, just us. We're not qualified. Never mind. Be faithful. Be faithful. And if God sends you to a place and you're willing to trust God, He will give you the gifts to perform that which He sent you to do. Don't worry about your gifts. They'll take care of that. And don't restrain your gifts. The gifts are for expansion, not for don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. I used to stutter. Very poor public speaker. The navigators would seldom ask me to speak. They asked other people to speak, and Don Rosenberger and all these guys. They wouldn't ask me to speak. I couldn't speak. I said, I'm going to learn how to speak. I'm going to learn how to give an outline. I'm going to learn how to lecture. Now I teach public evangelist. Now I preach gospel meetings, and I expect at least 20% of the people to respond and receive Christ as their Savior. You can learn. I don't know whether a gift or not, but I'm doing it. I do what I can. and whatever, I don't really know what my gifts are, but wherever God sends me, I will be faithful and do to the best I can. And a lot of people can do it much better than I will, but I'll get it started. And I will go. Another thing, do I dare say this publicly? Well, I will. I have never refused a request from the navigators my whole life. I didn't tell them that before. I made a promise to God. So everything that first Dawson, then Lauren Sanney, then the next, or then the mission field, or then this, I have never refused a request or hardly an opportunity. And a chance to speak. A chance to speak. I went to Singapore. There were 5 churches. I had a Bible class in all 5 churches. There were 2 Youth for Christ groups. I helped the 2 Youth for Christ groups. There's a Bible school. You want me to teach personal evangelism and discipling? Okay, I'll do it in the Bible school. I had 16 meetings a week my first year in Singapore. Well, okay, never mind. Where are your men coming from? God will give away your men. God will give men. God will provide men. And God does provide men. And I trained my men. I had my core of men. I spent my time with them, my 5 guys. And they all became navigators. They all became staff. And the first staff in Singapore that we had of 8 people, 4 went overseas, 50% of our first staff. 4 for local Singapore work, 4 for overseas work. So you extend, you give, you go, you say yes. It comes from a man of God. So many things. Glen Airy, I bring this in. We got a call. They're going to have Glen Airy, and it's going to cost $100,000. And we got our group together. I said, "Whoop! They're rich. They're American. We're poor servicemen. Can we give?" So I got the servicemen together. And so we'll give what we can. We gave $20,000 from a service guy. Every dollar I had, I put on the table. It's going to be sent. And then we telephone to Glen Eyrie. Don't send our next paycheck. Everything that's going to come in for all of our workers, we agreed, go to Glen Eyrie. And so our little group of people gave $20,000 in 1 month. And we had to have that because it was only within $100 of the amount of money that God needed to purchase Glen Eyrie, you know, the first installment. So God used us. God used us. Give without holding back. Serve without holding back. Teach. Preach. Do something. Witness. Does God want me to witness? Of course He wants you to witness. Preach. Teach. Do. Do it. Then let God lead you from place to place and from step to step according as what He would. Well, anyway, Dawson, member of 7 boards, and Wycliffe was one of them. So they would gather together, and Dawson would meet with the candidates going out to Wycliffe, you know, rough stuff and out in the jungles and all like that. And he'd ask them a few questions. Then he'd tell the Wycliffe board, this guy will make it, this lady won't, this guy will, this person won't. And his batting average, his degree of success and failure was so high. So what in the world? What are you consulting? How do you get nearly every person? Those who say will do it, do it. Those who say don't do it, don't do it. How do you do it? And then Doss later said, he wouldn't tell the students, but later, it's very simple. I asked the candidate, what did you pray for this morning? Tell me what your devotional life was. What did you get out of the Word of God? This week, how many people have you led to Jesus Christ? What is God teaching you? And, you know, simple questions. And from the answers to that, 90% of the time, those who said, they will make it, they did. Nah, they're not going to make it, they don't. Crossing the borders does not make a missionary. You are missionaries now. Never mind the geographical area. You're a missionary. You're in the world. Antagonistic world. It's a terrible world. You're in the world. You're bearing Jesus Christ. You bear reproach. You have the gospel. You preach. You do the job. You are a missionary now. And then God will expand and lead you forth in His time and economy and so forth. So you are to go. I have down here 3, Matthew 28, the Great Commission. You can read that. I didn't read it, but you're familiar. Read it later. And then go cross-cultural. Go somewhere cross-cultural. Now today there are so many opportunities cross-cultural. First place, I think Ray Cotton spoke on international students. He's one of the guys in former navigator and so forth. Now he's with ISI, works with international students, and say, all around you are internationals, Japanese, Chinese, all kinds. Befriend them. Work with them. Lead them to Christ. Not just do little service things and all like that, but share the gospel and read them and help them in their Christian life and growth. Be a missionary. All these thousands of people that are international. Then second, pray for overseas, short-term overseas. How are we on time? What are we going? We're still okay. Okay. How are we going overseas? Right now, I have a little tiny group. I retired from the navigators, and we do navigator things, but I'm responsible for what happens and both financially and whatever. So anyway, anything gets broke or goes wrong, you can blame me. So I guess I'm the leader. So we have just a little group, and we started out with 3 people, and now we got about 70 full-time staff in about 6 countries. And just our little group built on navigator traditions with a little bit of Billy Graham, Youth for Christ, do evangelism thrown in. We're working in places and campuses and working alongside the official church. Well, any of you here, you're qualified. I'm getting mail today, and I pick up all kinds. You are pre-qualified for the Bank of America card, for this card, for this card, for this card, for this card. There are 8 or 9. I don't even know how my address. You're pre-qualified. Just sign here. So I say to this group, you're pre-qualified. Sign up for some kind of missionary extension short-term group. There's all kinds of groups. The Edge Corps has it. The Navigators have it. We have a few here that I'll read you. Your denominations have some. Wycliffe has some. Mission groups has some. Sign up for something short-term. You're qualified. If you're at a KMI conference, if you're meeting with some kind of man, if you have a devotional life, I dare not say if you're memorizing scripture, eliminate too many. But never mind. But you have a devotional life and you're reading the Bible, you're qualified. So you can do a great thing as you cross-cultural. And as you cross-cultural, what you have will multiply at least 5 times. Anything you can do here with all the Christians, you can do 5 times as much and 5 times more important. At any place we send you to Asia or Europe or Africa or South America or wherever you go, it will multiply at least 5 times. And you are a hero. You are a VIP because you come from more than 100 miles away. Or you're an expert. Expert is one who comes. You are looked upon. You are revered. The missionary has bad press in media. But I'll tell you, in every country of Asia, they are adored. They are admired. They are loved. And the Chinese pastors say, why aren't you like the missionary? The missionary has what a reputation and sent by God and so forth, a wonderful opportunity. And you go in with this privilege. Nobody going to listen to you here hardly. But you go overseas in one of our teams. They're listening. They're ready. Whatever you have, you can give. And you become qualified and ready to share in a way that's very strong. Let me give 3 places where my team, I'm calling for. And these are 3 places where we need somebody immediately. Say, by May. End of May, end of the school year. We already have in Sun Yat-sen University, Canton or Guangzhou. Sun Yat-sen is the guy who had the revolution and all like that. The George Washington of China. And Sun Yat-sen University, the prestigious university, Sun Yat-sen, the highest ranking university in South China. In Zhongshan Dashue, in Chinese, but shortened to Zhongda, are the university. They don't bother. The university. The Central Mountain University. That university. The university. There we have a work. We have about, a team went last year of 7 people, of 6 people, and they led about 20 people to Christ, and about 12 of them are still continuing our core of new believers that meet at Sun Yat-sen University. They meet on the campus. These are students. They have official ranking. There's guards, there's policemen, but they don't bother the students. Students are in control. They're reading the Bible, okay. Nobody comes up and looks at them because they're reading the Word of God. Let's see, would you hand me that little deal there? I have a little book in it that probably I want to show you. Here it is. So they'll be out. This is a Chinese Bible. They'll be reading the Chinese Bible on the campus. 3 people praying together. Morning after morning. Maybe afternoon. Maybe the noontime. 4 or 5 people praying together. Guards couldn't care less. They just walked by. They're students. It's done all the time. Student-led, no problem. Even if a foreigner's there, they're students, no problem. Do about anything you want to. About 25 to 30, maybe as many as 40, will show up on a Tuesday night at our apartment, and they'll get together, and they'll show them the bridge. They'll explain the gospel. They'll do Bible studies. They'll sing songs, do all kinds of things, maybe about three times a week. We're inviting 10 more students from Louisiana State University, LSU, already lined up. They're going to go at the end of May. They're going to go to Sun Yat-sen University. We have an apartment for them. They'll help the students. They'll witness on the grounds for 4 weeks. They've signed up for 4 weeks. 10. We have room for about three more people. Anybody here, share it with your friends. Would you like to go to China? Sun Yat-sen University? How much money it costs? Well, get your transportation back and forth. Air tickets about 850, maybe up to 900. That's all. What do you need? About 500. A little bit more if you have an extra 100, okay. But for as little as 500, you can go. Everybody has that. $500, an airplane ticket. Join us for 1 month, the students. And if you're a senior, that's okay too. And live in the apartments. And witness with us at Zhongda Dashui, the strategic Sun Yat-sen University on the main campus. Beautiful campus, a mile long that empties, that goes the edge of it to the Pearl River. Beautifully landscaped auditoriums, classroom, the model school of all South China. Come and help us disciple, witness for Christ, lead souls to Christ. The second opening, Hyderabad. This is India. Hyderabad's a city of 7 million people. It's the capital of Andhra Pradesh, the Telugu people. There are about 10 major languages in India. The second largest is Andhra Pradesh, Telugu. 75 million people speak Telugu as their first major language. We have two teams there. We have two teams, 5 men each. They're seasoned people. They've been on our staff at least 3 years. They go out at least 3 times a week in public evangelism. I mean outdoors, outside of schools, or in auditoriums. Give the gospel. Give a public invitation. And 5, 10, usually at least 5 to 10 people every meeting will say yes to Christ. They're Council 101. And if you're there, you can be one of them that counsels 101 to the people that come up. They come and join our gospel teams, preaching among the farming people in Telugu, not where the tsunami was, about 800 miles above, but the same kind of people, the same area, village people, Hindu, 99% Hindu speaking. Every time we preach, we expect 5 to 10 people to come to Christ. Because God uses His Word, and if you come, you'll preach, give you an interpreter. I can't preach. You'll learn, and you'll counsel with the people that come forward, 101. You'll explain. Some will know enough English, you can follow it, and you'll lead them to Christ. Evangelism, follow-up, country people, India. It's open. They're going about 2 weeks later, middle of June or latter part of June. You can join that. 2 to 3 people. If you like to. Even girls can go along on this one. The first one's only men. Women. No. I'll take it back. No girl. Just men. More simple. Next year, maybe girls. Just men. We'd like about 3 people to join us and go for 2 to 3 weeks or a month in Hyderabad. And join our team, witnessing together. You, as a foreigner, will double the number of decisions. We'll double our crowd. You say, well, don't they want the Indians to preach? Nah, they don't want the Indians to preach. That's too common. Indians are not going to listen to Indians. Oh, that's what I heard. I read in a mission book. Shouldn't be the foreigner, should be the Indian. Yeah, but you haven't told the Indians that. and they see a foreigner, they'll flock. Double the number of people or triple the number of people will come. If I'm there, we triple the crowds. Because I must be somebody. They probably even think I'm famous. Never mind. You're famous. You're right. You come from fraud place. You got credentials. They'll flock because we mix the foreigner by itself. No. But the national by itself is not enough. It doesn't have the prestige. Doesn't have the international backing. It doesn't have the thing. But with them together, you sit back and we double the crowd. And I'll guarantee you, if you're worth your salt, you go to Sun Yat-sen University. If you don't lead five people to Christ, go home and study more. You should. Or in Hyderabad, you preach, be leading people to Christ. The third is, what do you call it? Ho Chi Minh, Saigon, Vietnam. We have one missionary. He's been there 3 years. Every year, I begged, please, please, please send a co-worker for Bob Han. For 3 years, no one has ever responded. Bob Han, our missionary, working alone in Vietnam. His father was a helicopter pilot in the Vietnamese War. And so his father mowed down, the magic dragon. I mean, he thinks maybe hundreds of people. And it was an emotional experience for his father and then for Bob. And Bob said, I want to go and give the gospel where the Vietnam War, a lot of people were killed, maybe by my father, what have you. I want to go and give the gospel. And so he went 3 years ago. The churches are founded by the Christian Missionary Alliance. And so they founded, and all the official churches, or 90% of them, their foundations was the Christian Missionary Alliance. Bob Han is sent, supported by a church from Kentucky, from the Christian Missionary Alliance, to help him. And he's there. And just a couple of months ago, his father finally came after 3 years. Helicopter pilot. And he was amazed. He met former MiG fighters because Bob Han teaches a class, English class, among the Air Force, the people that are flying. And so he was introduced to these former pilots, and they prayed and cried with one another and forgived and hugged one another, former Vietnamese and Americans get together now with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want somebody, some male from KMI or somewhere, some male disciple maker. If you have two or three, okay, but one person that will go, we hope for 6 months. Invitation 6 months. Well, 1 or 2 months maybe, but we would like someone to go for 6 months. Also enroll in the university and learn Vietnamese, so you're a university student. On the other hand, there are three churches, some of the three biggest churches in all Saigon. They're begging for somebody to come and teach the Timothy Principle, which maybe if you've seen, we'll show you later. It's translated in Vietnamese. It's sent to every Vietnamese church in Vietnam. The pastor has received a copy of the Vietnamese discipleship course, training evangelistic leadership, and a dozen churches are asked, please send us somebody that can teach Timothy training. They'll give you an interpreter in our church, the biggest churches in the city, or any church. And these are three openings that we know right away. And EdgeCore, dozens. Thailand, dozens. Europe, dozens. Russia, everywhere. Latin America, Mexico, they're begging. The harvest is tremendous. The laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers to the harvest. We're on time.
We're good.
Huh? You need 10 minutes? Any questions?
10 after 5.
Oh, what we got, 20 minutes? 20? All right. 3 or 4 minutes for questions. Anybody where you are? Yes.
The position in Vietnam, would it be open to a husband and wife team?
Yes. Yes.
I
beg you to come. Yes.
I know a young man who's just been...
Husband and wife, yes. We are open. We have the credentials. We have the standing. They might or might not enroll in the... You don't have to enroll in the university, but it'll be easier to get a visa if they'll go at least for 6 months or so and enroll in Vietnamese school, the university. They can witness there, and then also from that have access to the churches. We'd be delighted.
Do you have to have a passport?
No. We will take care of that. You have to have a U.S. passport. The visa, we'll take care of it. Be in touch with us, you get a visa before you go. You can get it from America, probably the easiest place. Or if you stop by Hong Kong, you can get it in 2 or 3 days, whichever way works out. Or the Philippines. Other questions, comments? All right, you'll have, yes, one more.
You know, Roy, it might be interesting to see a show of hands of how many people already hold a passport, because it's kind of a first concrete step in our commitment to be willing to go.
From this group here?
Yeah, many have a passport.
All right, how many are available? I don't say you have to go, but you're available to listen to God. And whatever reply comes from, I'm not saying this or that, but you're available to listen to God. You're available to go if you see this is it and God lays it upon my heart to do it. Can I see your hands? Whew. Anybody got a camera? We need witnesses. Nobody got a camera? No camera? Never mind. God knows. All right. God saw your hand. You're committed. So when the next invitation comes, you told God, you're willing. And if you don't, you can go ahead and volunteer. We need laborers. You're qualified. Go. God will bless us. Bless you. God will add another dimension to your life. Now, I want to give Sean about 10 or 15 minutes. I have my replacement. They say, don't die until you... somebody take your... anyway. Dr. Sean Collins is my replacement. He's been officially recognized by our organization. He's going to take over my place. But last November, I said, hey, Sean, not so fast. And so they had an election. And so Bush ran for another term, 4 years. The media in India, very, very anti-Bush, anti-American, anti-everything, anti-Iraq, anti-everything that has to do with us. But Bush got elected. And Bush said, I need 4 more years to finish my mission and set it in place so that when somebody else comes along, it will keep in place. Said, God? Said before, I was willing to step down at 85. Caleb was 85. But Lord, give me, please, 4 more years. So I asked God, God, give me 4 more years. Then I'll turn it over to Sean. But the Lord intervenes. More quickly than that, Sean is ready. So this is Dr. Sean Collins.
Well, thanks, Roy. For the rest of the workshop, we've got a couple of things to look at. First, Roy asked me to talk about why full-time missionaries are still needed. And I asked Roy, why do you want me to talk about that? And he said, well, Sean, I think I'm too prejudiced, Roy said. Coming from you would be better. And I said, well, okay. I thought from Roy would be better, since he's been doing this for a long time. And he's given his life for the gospel. And I've seen how God has blessed his life. I'll do my best. Currently, I'm an engineer working for Texas Instruments. And... Roy has asked me to take on the responsibility for his organization should something happen to him soon, and eventually become the director. And I've told him that I'm willing, and we'll see how God provides. So with that, what I'd like to turn your attention to today is Mark chapter 10. Please turn there if you have your Bible. A rich young ruler came to Jesus once, and he asked him a question. What shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And Jesus gave his reply, and the young man turned away grieved, it said, because he owned much property. Jesus remarked that it was hard for a wealthy man to enter the kingdom of God. Well, hearing this, his disciples discussed among themselves. And, of course, the one who was always eager to speak up, Peter, asked Jesus this question. He said, said to Jesus in verse Mark 10, 28, he said, "Behold, Lord, we have left everything and followed you." Well, Jesus knew what he was thinking about and asked and answered his question even before Peter could ask it fully. Verse 29, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, but that he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." The reason why missionaries, that we should go as missionaries, we should be willing to go, is because God has promised, Jesus gave a promise, that if we are willing to let go of what we have here in our life, including close contact with our relatives, our jobs, our houses, our close contact with our parents and our loved ones, and we entrust those things to him and we go, that God will give us, in a spiritual way, replacement children and houses and mothers and farms and a place, even in this present life. God will provide in his own way what we need on the field, as well as persecutions. Oh yeah, Jesus, he threw that in. So we have to be ready for that. But think about it just for a second. Can you avoid hardship in your life?
No.
You can't. It's either you stay where you are and try to build your walls in your own way to avoid it, or you just leave it to God. And hardship will come either way. But it's a much better blessing to just trust God and put yourself in the place where you will have hardship. And that one of those places is on the mission field. Well, there's four advantages that the full-time missionary has that the national worker, although needed and very an integral part of any missionary work, four advantages that the foreign missionary has over the national worker. The first is freedom. When you make your decision to leave your own culture and pull yourself up and transplant yourself into another culture, you have a certain freedom. And that freedom comes from the understanding that I gave up something that's very valuable to me, and I removed myself from that situation and put myself over here with the express purpose of giving the gospel. That's one, that's the severing the ties that we have from our normal everyday entanglements and placing ourselves in the foreign missionary field does open up a certain freedom. We don't have we're not inhibited by our own preconceived notions of what it means to live our life in our own culture. And in a foreign culture, you can legitimately see the foreign culture in a unique way that the national can't. And when I was a missionary with the Navigators, I used to think of it as just playing dumb, because I'd go into a situation where I didn't know if I should say anything, or I didn't know if I should introduce myself, and I would just say, you know, I'm a foreigner, and I'm not exactly sure how you do things around here. Can you show me where the nearest Bible church is or something like that? That's a great advantage that the missionary has. You're free to pursue the path that God has placed you there for, and you're not encumbered by the things that you've left behind. The second one is neutrality. When you are a foreigner in a culture, it's automatic. At least when I was in the Philippines, no one mistook me for a Filipino, ever. No. In fact, walking down the streets of Manila, you'd always hear the kids would always say, "Hey Joe," and that what they're trying to do is get you to turn around. Okay, just be walking around. "Hey Joe." Well, I stuck out like a sore thumb. So automatically, I was different. That enabled me to be able to have open doors across cultural, across class boundaries, across religious boundaries. Most of the people that we ministered to in the Philippines were Catholics, and the converts and the disciples that we had growing up in the ministry were Catholics. Well, because of the cultural boundaries that they had within their own country, nearly impossible for one of those Catholic Christians to approach and talk to a Muslim from the Philippines. And it was just a huge cultural divide. Well, and it was on both sides. The Muslims also mistrust the Catholics, and the Catholics mistrust the Muslims. But as a foreign missionary, I was looked upon with a great deal of curiosity by the Muslim students that I met. And very interesting, they wanted me to go on their outings and be part of their group. That gave me a natural opening that a Filipino from the same country but from a different culture within that country didn't have. That's also as a foreign missionary working with the navigators, I had complete freedom to work with the Methodists or the Presbyterians or the Baptists and even the Catholics across Christian boundaries. That was one of the things that I found a great advantage to going with an interdenominational group like the Navigators. We could work with whoever, wherever the open door was. This was part of the blessing it was to be a missionary. Third one is gifting. America has sent out thousands of missionaries in the last century, and although if you read some of our own press, you would think that Americans are not welcome. Well, maybe American government policy is not welcome, but in every country that I've been to in Asia, I was always welcome and treated very well. And always, even if they don't appreciate America, and when I was in the Philippines, it was the time where Ferdinand Marcos was still in power, and they went through the whole people power revolution. There were many people who really didn't like and distrusted the American government. But as an American, they were very friendly and welcomed me. The other part is America has a huge responsibility. God has blessed our country with great Bible teaching, thousands of churches, with great wealth, with the ability to send missionaries. And it's our responsibility as Americans to consider going and to support missions. This is one reason I believe God has blessed America in this way, to make her able to send missionaries. And we need to live up to that responsibility. Fourth is accountability. For the national worker with just local accountability and local understanding of what the Christian norms and the culture is in his country, it's very easy for that type of work to be blind to their weak spots. For someone who is going internationally and has a much broader understanding of Christianity, not only in America, but also in a worldview with accountability from outside the field, this also provides a great value. The missionary is the one who really sets the standard on the field for doctrine and holiness and commitment. This is what Roy was saying. The pastors in China would use the missionaries as models, say to their congregation, you should be as committed as the missionaries are. So this is another great advantage of the missionary. So national workers are important, and certainly Roy's organization, we do have 70 or so national workers working side by side with missionaries, but we emphasize that the missionary is still very needed on the field. So with that, what I'd like to end is with a progress check. So if you'd pull up this page that has seven questions on it. And what we'd like to do is take a few minutes and have you prayerfully go through each one. And in the time remaining, write down your own personal, you know, you're all here because you have an interest in missions. We're all here because we understand the importance of missions, and we all want to be involved in some way. We'll go through each one and take 5 minutes just to do a self-check of where you are right now. Okay, it's just about 5:30, so we'll have to close.
Hold this.
Sure.
Why don't you introduce this for me, and then have a word of prayer, and then tell them fill in the word to the report card.
Sure. We'll stop now, but before we do, it's like...
Let me do this. Introduce my two helpers. In the back is Danny Wagamore. From Denton, he meets with me, hold up your hand. And this is Frank Christian. He's from Louisville. He moved away. He's been with us together in Timothy training and so forth. And so they will handle these books you introduce.
Okay, so what's the plan with the books? Are they going to give the books out?
Yeah, just hold them up, and then word of prayer, take time for the report card and time.
Okay. There are some materials in the back that you may be interested in. Here is there's a brochure which describes the mission which Roy founded and currently leads that has the 70 missionaries on the field and the opportunities for the summer. There is a book which Roy wrote, published by NAV Press about 85, reprinted in Singapore, called The Timothy Principle, and a workbook. A lesson plan for discipling your man, man to man, with the aim to have him spiritually reproduce. And then the third one is a book which Roy wrote and was published last year called Developing a Heart for Mission. Describes the global missionary strategy. Yes?
What? How many?
How many what?
Missionary. Powerhouse 5.
Oh, this includes the Power, yes, chapter on the Powerhouse 5, and a history of missions.
Dawson Trotman, right. Bob Pierce, David Market, Hubert Mitchell, Dick Ellis.
Okay. Roy's missionary history, according to Roy.
He
worked on all of them. So if you want to understand missions in Asia, especially since post-World War II and the time before that, but really what's been happening, this is the book for you. And it's written as a devotional to motivate you to work on the mission field. So, yes?
One of the unique features of this particular book is a third missionary movement following William Carey and Hudson Taylor, which is U.S. servicemen at the conclusion of World War II. I'm not sure that's mentioned anywhere else in any mission book in publication.
No, this would be, if Roy wanted a PhD, this would be a great PhD book. But it was written because it has some unique and insightful missionary understanding that you could only get from having been involved with it.
Every chapter is a missionary principle.
Yeah, every chapter. But it's not an academic book. It's really written as a motivating to help you understand what God does through men who are faithful and available. So with that, let's pray.
That's Dr. Jerry Strader. He happens to be my boss. He's the chairman
Our
board. We do. And it's a big voice. You stand and God leads. Lead us in
By the way, thank you for the privilege of hearing the great commander once again. Thank you for the fact that you've given Roy the 3, 4 years, and 10, and because of strength, 4+. And God, I pray that as we have considered your call upon our life, that we might say with Jeremiah, Lord, here am I, send me. And so thank you for honoring your word, the testimony of your servant. And we look forward with expectation to see what you're going to do in our lives and those with whom we have contact in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. For your glory and honor, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.